Call this August 25th Finance Committee meeting to order. Those present are Councilwoman, Councilpersons Kilpatrick, Sheldon, Tackett, Hollins, Weiner, Cartier, Diller, Retta. I'm Councilman Smiley. I co-chair the Finance Committee meeting. Excuse me for a second. My aide's giving me a message here. Oh, here it is. Let me see what it says.
Give me one, too.
Okay, I've informed that Council President Bullock and Councilman Powers will not be here today.
Is that a Chinese fortune cookie?
I just follow what my aide gives me, so there we go. So, with that, is there a motion on the minutes of July 28th meeting?
Second.
There's a motion to approve. Is the second all in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. Thank you very much for your indulgence. First on the agenda, resolution number 15-151 under my sponsorship, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for the Newcastle Conservation District for the repair of the public safety building stormwater management pond to bring into code compliance for the Department of Special Services in the amount of $43,600. I think the title is self-explanatory, but I did send an email asking if we could be advised exactly what's wrong with our own pond. It's not that old that we need this kind of work.
Sure.
And
Mike Harris, Special Services. We found out that the public safety pond is 28% undersized from its design plans. Land use will allow you to go to 10% in delay to the capacity it was designed for. So the plan is to, it needs to have about a half foot to a foot of more of the bottom removed to bring it back up to capacity.
Okay. Is, okay, go ahead. Yeah.
And also, there four bay was not infiltrating as they would have had, like, per design, so we're adding an underdrain to the project.
Well, I'm going to ask you, and I do see we have someone from law here. I assume they're involved in this. Do we have any recourse against the people we paid to put this in? I don't think Special Services put it in, right? I mean, if it's not up to the design, if not, you know, then the general contractor who we paid a bundle to oversee the project. Okay, with that.
Wayne Merritt, Acting General Manager for Special Services. Continuing inside of the public safety building. We spoke about the building the last time I was here. There were site work issues also. As best as I can track back, we can track back what happened. By 2010, we had an as-built done of the pond. There were several issues, and I don't have any real first-hand knowledge of this. I'm being told there were several issues and concerns about some of the site work. And there was issues and openness in the contractor was Mr. Clutter. There were a lot of issues that were being resolved about site work. That issue is not one to be completed by Mr. Clutter. There were other projects that didn't complete. I can't explain.
We were involved in litigation on this, right?
Yeah.
As a whole, okay.
We did some work. We actually did some work in front of the environmental bio retention infiltration. I don't know why that part was not done at the pond. You remember back in 2013, we had done studies. We recognized there was significant need for other changes. And if you recall, we had probably three storm ponds on the site. What we need to do is at least bring this one item, the last item that was on the original record plan, the plans. We've already got plans to do some additional work to deal with the other drainage issue on the site. That's Steve Rubel, can I see more pictures?
Steve Rubel, Special Services. I think some of why this was maybe discovered a little later in the process with respect to any negotiations going on with Corrado is the fact that land use had required that an as-built survey be done to document that what was constructed with the stormwater management actually met what was on the drawings. That wasn't actually done, I think, until the year that I got here, about 5 years ago. Once that was done, we realized that it was 28% under the design volume. At that point, the negotiations had already been completed in July. So that's why we're kind of at that point.
Well, I used to be involved with the Crotto family through contracts and such. Very nice people. Anybody call them and say, hey, buddy, found out you made a mistake. You want to come out and fix it? I'm being facetious, okay?
I'm not sure what was done. I got to be honest. Yeah. I wasn't
part of that. Okay. Councilman Redden, then Councilwoman Kilpatrick, and then Councilman Cartier.
Thank you. Part of what George asked is what I was going to ask. The other is, I was just wondering, when we had these people over there from land use and special services, and the drawing, was it done in crayon or something? I mean, because it seems like we went from 30-something million up to 50 million for a building that has wasted space. The outside wasn't taken care of, and now we're going back and spending more dollars and cents to take care of something that should have been done at the beginning, because that's what the contractor's for. Not this third contractor, which was a waste of money. This general contractor, or the CM, he's supposed to oversee everything to make sure things are done the way they're supposed to be done on that print. And if they're not, and there's a problem, it's supposed to be corrected right then and there. Not 5 years later or 3 years later. This is ridiculous. Now we got a library that's going to be built on Route 9. Are we going to have the same problem here? We almost had the same problem in Claymont. But things were brought under control beforehand. Now we're going to spend millions more? I mean, the wasted space ought to be looked at inside to be utilized, because they are cramped in there. They don't have any more room. I've been over there when I hear the police complain about you got the vestibule when you walk in, and it's supposed to be bulletproof glass. Better look into that, too.
Okay. Councilwoman Kilpatrick, questions regarding this?
So this is basically a 15-year-old project. Isn't that about when this police building was built? And at that point, mm-hmm. understanding that it's
less than that. We were here. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So do we not inspect our own buildings? I mean, we have building inspectors, so we build it, but we don't inspect it.
Maybe the past chief paid them off.
God knows. But, you know, I mean, I have building inspectors. Every month I go through something where a building inspector has said to somebody building something that this isn't right, and they believe it's right, and we end up having meetings and on and on. And yet we have our own building that we have found problems with, from the heating system, the cooling system, the 911 center. I mean, the outside ponds, the outside landscape, buffering. I mean, there's nothing in this building that seems to be as it should have been. So it either was designed very, very poorly and or nobody inspected, and understanding that there can be on-site changes and that you maybe need an as-built, but we are now even beyond as-built. And we're still having the problems?
We're now at as not built.
Well, exactly.
28%.
Been as not built from the very beginning, so.
Okay. Let me get on the record that Councilman Bell and Councilman Street are with us. Councilman Cartier.
Just to directly to the point about this purchase order contract, I know that we did have a fairly bad flooding incident that affected one of the parking lots at the public safety building in the recent past. And I think it's carved one of the water. So now we understand that this stormwater system is under capacity. Do you think this will prevent any such, you know, repeat, you know, flooding in the parking areas here?
There'll be additional things we'll have to do. Okay. That 28%.
Yeah. they had to redo the drainage system at the government center because it was flooding some of my residential properties because it wasn't built this back years ago.
Which will address bio infiltration systems throughout it. And that will include public current.
Was that flooding incident caused by a rainfall amount that
tremendous.
We could not really, you know, are we designing to that standard or are we just going to go to 100-year rainfall, whatever that means? I just don't want to see our, you know, our employees' property destroyed on our property because of the flooding.
And that was a significant rain, but we believe the changes we're going to make will make for the results to overcome that.
Councilman Tackett.
Just one clarification, the way I understand it is, you, in a sense, if you get this passed, you will be contracting with the Conservation District to do the project, who will then have to contract with one of their vendors in order to do the project, because the Conservation District actually doesn't do the work.
Correct.
And we're not able to just do it ourselves.
The staffing issue.
Okay. We've heard that. All right. Thank you.
The only additional question I have, and I mean, I would go out on a limb and say, you know, it's beyond doubt that this is, we're going to approve this and take care of it, but certain things you got to put up with since you're acting. what I'm curious about is the 43.6. Does that come out of funds that we would have been using to assist other projects that constituents may have or whatever that where we would have to help fund or? I guess it bothers me if we have something that wasn't built right to begin with and then we're going to take funds that throughout this fiscal year might be helping with constituent flooding issues or things. That's I just need to know up front. That's all.
Out of,
and then public safety will cross charge you. And then you'll
okay.
That's Roman Kilpatrick.
So if we're still in the lawsuit, we have a possibility of making some of this up at some point?
No, that's been resolved.
That's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was resolved.
So there's no chance of going back and recouping any of this?
No. Okay, any further questions? Councilman Street and Councilman Bell.
Every time I make up my mind, I'm going to come in here and be quiet. I see on the agenda something disturbing, and I totally acquiesce Councilman Redder's perspective. And $43,000 you got to spend to keep from flooding. End of the day. It did start out around $30 million. End up being a $50 million Taj Mahal, which I kept calling, going to keep on calling it. $20 million worth of change orders. And as Councilwoman Kilpatrick said, the HVAC system, it wasn't right. The 911 center, that had to be redone. Now it's flooded. What I want to know is, what are the procedural safeguards we're going to put in now to prevent future occurrences on other construction projects? And at what point and how do we hold the so-called construction management team at the time, hold them responsible? Because as far as I'm concerned, this should be held against them from now henceforth and forevermore.
I would agree.
Is there
any comments? Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I agree with what Councilman Redder and Councilman Street have said. I think that when you go back in time and you look at past administrations, what was done with this complex, being first isn't always being best. And we had folks that tried to design a building with technology that wasn't proven. They built a building and they were told throughout the process of the building by the various divisions in the department what their needs were, and they ignored their needs. They ignored their space requirements, they ignored their needs. And so we end up with a building that really day one you move in and you're out of space. I mean, that is not proper planning. The heating, air conditioning systems and the different technology used in this building were built to fail, and they failed. And now we have the thing with the stormwater management. Understand what Councilman Tackett is saying as far as like the conservation district, but I can tell you our experience with the conservation district, with Kevin Donnelly and the leadership of the conservation district, if you want something done right, get them involved.
Yeah.
Because living proof of that, today we got final pictures of what could have been catastrophic in the Fort Penn area, the dike down there, the breach in the dike. The conservation district, in coordination with DENREC, in coordination with our land use department, emergency management, and everything, has that fixed, not fixed permanently, but fixed on a temporary basis. But it's quite elaborate as far as what they've done to try to prevent flooding. So I have the highest regard for our leadership at the conservation district, and I think that's the way to go, because they'll take a look at this and they'll make it right.
I don't think anyone sitting at this table doubts that's the way to go and that we need to be done. The concern is why we're there. I mean, waterless bathroom amenities have been around for a while, but they got put in this building and were piped with pipe that couldn't handle the flow to go through them. It just goes to show, you know, the bidding process doesn't always get you what you hope for. Councilman Street.
Well, the point I tried to make wasn't rhetorical. I really would like an answer from the department.
I believe you do.
As to what is going to be done differently going forward on construction projects to reduce the likelihood of future occurrences.
I agree, Councilman Street, and I didn't take it lightly. My intent was to go back to them as I'm now at the end and see if they can wrap up what we had to say.
Just start off, man. I'll turn to Steve's church. I can't explain why it took 2010 for an ASBIL to be done at this point. I just can't explain. There is no excuse that I can come up with. Having said that, Steve can talk about that.
Steve Rubel, Special Services. You know, you could talk about this project for days. I mean, it's an interesting discussion to say the least. There are so many aspects of the building with respect to just quality control and making sure that things got designed right, that things went through the bidding process right, that things were managed right and ultimately constructed correctly. I mean, there are just so many aspects that were just 100% missed on that project. So, you know, again, I mean, I could talk for hours about what we're going to do so that that doesn't happen again. But, you know, as an example, you know, with respect to oversight of our projects, we're just going to make sure that all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted. When it comes to commissioning, for instance, almost none of the commissioning was completed on the public safety building. When it came down to controls, when it came down to mechanical systems and other, you know, lead type systems for that building. But that's going to get done and has been done with Bear Library and Claremont Library since I've been here. And as an example, it's things like that that we're not going to let go. We're going to make sure that all of those things get done. Land use requires that these pre-surveys get done and then the post-surveys get done. The as-built survey for the stormwater management system. You know, we did those for Claremont Library, proved that we built what was supposed to be in there. And we're going to do the same thing moving forward. I can't answer why so many of those things weren't done to the public safety. And I think Dave or Molly would like to add to that.
Certainly.
Sierra David Grimaldi, I think one thing is to just look at what happened in the past for that particular project. That project was unique in that we hired an owner representative, which hadn't happened occurred. hadn't occurred before, and so the owner representative was essentially overseeing the general contractor in between the department. So we lost an element of control on that project, and I think that's the one first and only time that has happened. So one of the ways I think we can mitigate this is let the department handle it.
Councilman Redden, then Councilman Street, and Councilman Bell.
Thank you. I'd just like to agree with Councilman Street that the CM or general, how this new project's going to be, or any future project. In the specs, is there anything in the specs that are going to be written stating that these people are going to be responsible to oversee the jobs on how they're supposed to be done and how they're supposed to be done right?
Yeah, that's Steve Rubel, Special Services. I mean, that's an excellent point. And those things, they always get into the specs. They always get on the drawings. What's the difference is the management. It's the management of the projects and making sure you have the right team on board to ensure that those things get done. And I can tell you that we do. We make sure that we get the right CM on the job. You know, we've got good management here in Special Services and a good team all the way up to Wayne. We make sure that we get the best contractors that we can within the bidding process that we have, and we hold them to it. We evaluate the architects and engineers and make sure that we get, you know, a good design team on board. And then from there on, I mean, it's a lot of it's on my shoulders to make sure that that stuff gets done. And I can tell you that we're looking at it, and we're going to make sure that it gets done.
Okay, with that, Steve, with the public safety building and the Claymont Library, we have problems with contractors up there. And the problems we had with contractors, they were getting the contract and subbing it out to somebody else under their name. It doesn't happen that way because on Chapter 6, it says you can't do that. That's called lending of license. And when you can lend the license, you don't know who you're getting. And I want to stand by that until the end. And if I hear about it, I mean, I'm going to come down on that hard. We shouldn't have that. I mean, we hold the public to cutting their grass, and we blame them for not cutting their grass. But yet, when a contractor comes in, we let them do what they want. It just doesn't work that way because the contractor doesn't pay the taxes. The residents pay most of the taxes in this county.
Councilman Street and Councilman Bell.
Okay. I'm going to be completely forthcoming, and this is my concern. Number one, I play hard, but I play fair and I play consistent. I'm lividly angry about the fact that Christina School District was found guilty of discrimination and discipline at all levels. Nobody was held accountable. Nobody was held responsible. The reason I'm saying that, because in the instant matter, nobody was held accountable. Nobody was held responsible. So I'm equally upset. More importantly to me, I'm just being completely forthcoming. There's a library on the table that costs a whole lot of money. It's already contentious. It's been contentious. It's been through what it's been through. There's no way in heck it can endure inappropriate oversight that runs up into a whole bunch of change orders that escalates that price. Then I end up with a dream and a sign out there on Route 9. So my concern is I think something needs to be presented in writing to say what the safeguards and what the procedures are going to be to prevent future occurrences. Nobody's been held accountable. Nobody's been held responsible. And at the end of the day, it's over $20 million in change orders, retrofitting. And in my opinion, it shouldn't be business as usual. And I think it needs to be put, something needs to be put in writing in terms of practices, policies, and procedures, wherein somebody is held accountable and responsible in the process. This should never happen again.
As a follow-up, if I may, Councilman Street, I'm sitting here mulling all this. as much of a hardship as some people may believe it is, this may be the time that, at the meeting following the groundbreaking, that this council entertain a resolution, a motion, or whatever, requiring monthly reports at our meeting, at one of the meetings, land use or wherever, monthly reports on what's taking place and what's being looked at on the job. Just a suggestion, I would yield to you. Councilman Bell.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I guess Councilman Reddit brought up an interesting point. I'd like to ask Special Services on it. From the ballistic protective portion of the glass and the information area in the lobby of the public safety building, is that in place? Is that ballistic resistance type glassing?
Maybe we need an executive session for that. Want that out?
Well, that's
it's serious. I understand.
Yeah, it's serious, and the thing is that I can tell you, not only public safety complexes, but places of public assembly. Okay, and all we got to look at is the recent shooting in the reserve center, okay, the recruiting center for the military. When someone can arbitrarily walk into a building that's supposed to be protected, and you can't go beyond a certain point, that's a good thing. But if that glass is not the proper glass to be in there to protect our personnel that are right up there on the front line ballistically, then we need to address that.
We had it at the Teamsters Hall.
Hey, Mayor, that's your general manager, Special Services. There are things that I think the work council is doing, constantly with public safety, but I would like to address the question.
Very good.
So can we do that in a public safety
meeting?
Absolutely. Okay, sir.
Thank you.
Wayne Mayor, yes. Special Services, we'd be more than happy to set every month Special Services so we get an update on the that's not an issue.
Okay.
More than happy for that.
Okay. Councilman Street.
Well, before we get there, I just think it's important that there be a high level of scrutiny with the construction manager, the architect, the hired contractors, and their ability to work together, and somebody ultimately, and I'm assuming it has to be the department, has to be accountable for the oversight of all that and making sure that it works together. And again, I think policies, procedures, and practices, when you're spending this level of money, should be in writing. So that somebody, I'm repeating myself, it's a matter of somebody being held accountable.
Well, I see the CAO nodding.
We will find what we're working for relatively in writing. I'm here to tell you, we'll be here monthly to talk about the project.
Okay. Anything further from council? Anything from the public? And now you know why I sent that little email saying we need somebody ready to answer some questions. Okay. Next, R15-152, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for the state of Delaware Division of Communications for yearly maintenance contract for volunteer fire service high band paging system for the Department of Public Safety in the amount of $63,160. And again, this is the annual contract for the maintenance for the high band paging system volunteer fire service. Any questions? Any member council? Anything from the public? Hearing none, I think I know, but we will go through the proper process. Substitute number one to 14-089, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, it's currently tabled. It's going to remain.
089 and 090
yes.
Will both remain tabled.
Okay, so 089 and 090 will remain tabled. And I believe Councilwoman Kilpatrick was kind enough to notify the clerk of council in advance. Therefore, they did not appear in anyone's packets as well. Correct? Okay. So we're clear as to why they aren't there. Okay. Next on the agenda, Newcastle County grant requests, community events. First on the agenda, Edgemore Revitalization Cooperative Incorporated, Councilman Cartier.
Thank you. If I want to take a moment. Okay, thanks. Yes. The Edgemore Revitalization Cooperative is the small neighborhood community nonprofit that was established to work on community development in Edgemore Gardens, which is, you know, one of our most stressed neighborhoods in the town. And we just did a backpack event for the returning school kids. And this grant reflects the request for supporting youth activities, summer feed, and teen program events and trips. So I'd like to make a motion for $2,500 to support the activities for youth in the through the Edgemore Revitalization Cooperative.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Not voting. Next on the agenda, Edgemore Community DBA Bellevue Community Center, Councilman Cartier.
Yes, thank you. This is the Edgemore Community Center has been renamed the Bellevue Community Center, more accurately reflect the neighborhood and community its building is in. But this is a grant request for $2,500. They have a nice pavilion facility outside that they do a lot of activities for their daycare program and you know, youth program and community programs. And they've made this grant request amount of $2,500 for the repair and enhancement of that pavilion facility. So I'd like to make the motion for $2,500 for the Edgemore Community Center, now known as Bellevue Community Center.
Just a question.
Councilman Meyer.
John, is this Greg Wilson, who used to be our county attorney, the development director? Just curious.
I don't believe so, no.
I'm supporting.
A motion on the floor for that.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Not voting. One thing, I apologize, I should have clarified this earlier, but so council members know, at the bottom of the list of grants, you'll see asterisk notating that when those grants that are applicable to those asterisks were submitted, this is paperwork that was missing from the packet in order for them to come forward. So we bring them forward, let me finish please, we bring them forward with the understanding that sometimes if we do not get this clarified, there may be a motion, as we've done before, to approve subject to receiving everything. In this situation, the Edgemore Revitalization Cooperative has submitted the 501c3 paperwork, and the Odessa National Civic, we've clarified that they are not a 501c3, so the application has been corrected. So just so you know, if you've got a grant there and you see something down below, you know, you can check in advance with Betsy to see if it's been received, if it's been clarified. But the intent is for us to be able to keep the grants moving, because we don't always know, you know, how crucial it is to have that. So we have in the past done them subject to receiving the necessary documentation. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Am I correct in understanding that you do not have to be a 501c3,
correct,
though, in order to get a grant?
Right.
And that at one point we talked about revising the application because the wording was
and
funny or misleading?
No. And that is clarified, but when you mark yes,
then
it says you have to it says you have to submit it.
Okay.
That's it. And there was a clear, just Odessa the wrong National block was marked.
Okay, so Odessa National marked yes, but they are really not ones.
Right.
They marked the wrong box.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So it is clear, but if you mark it, we got to get it. It's the same thing with the non-discrimination provision. If you say you have a non-discrimination policy, you're to provide it. If you say no, then you give a reason why not.
Okay.
That's all. And
all right.
We just want to make sure everybody's being held to the same criteria. With
Mr.
that.
Chair.
Yes, sir.
I have a question, and I don't know who this would be directed to, you or maybe Betsy. How are we doing in terms of the backlog of the statements that are incomplete? Do we keep track? Are there some that are really old? Do we have a process where the council receives an update? I think we do see them from time to time.
Yeah, that would go to Betsy, and she provides that.
That's again a clerk of council. You're talking about the follow-up reports?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, they're actually coming in very well. And I send them out maybe once a month, a listing.
Do we have some really old ones that are outstanding?
There could be a few. I don't know off the top.
We'll get an updated list out to everyone.
Okay. I think maybe we should flag the ones that are over
a certain period. That's the clerk of council. I do check for new ones when the reports are made. I check to make sure they're not a group that has not submitted their report. So yeah. I do track them.
Could you flag the ones that are really older, I don't know, 6 months? Whatever council wishes.
Yeah, but we do get a breakdown. So if you just send us out a breakdown,
are there
if you
any
would,
that are like a year, paper down over there. A year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we need to pay attention to that as a group and try to double down on getting those reports out.
Okay. Paul, guys, didn't mean to go off track. Councilor Reddick, did you have a question?
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to make a little suggestion. What I do, Councilman Weiner, is somebody doesn't submit what they're supposed to submit on a follow-up, they're done. They don't get any more money. Because it's up to the council person to submit the grant to the council. And if they don't, I just...
That's a good practice, Councilman Renner. I'm just thinking of folks that are just one and done.
Yeah, and that's part of the process that Betsy's doing. If one comes in, she checks to see if they've submitted a letter. If they haven't, she notifies the council member to read.
Okay.
Odessa National Civic, Councilman Bell. Apologize for holding you up, sir.
We were contacted our office by the Odessa National Civic Association, and as we all know, as far as the history of the Odessa National area, I'm not going to get into roadways and traffic lights and everything else that has plagued that developed area, but literally we have thousands of homes that have been built, and it's in a very remote area. And there's really no infrastructure currently in place for children and younger folks within the community. So the community has reached out and asked if we would provide a $2,500 grant to assist with some of their programs that they have for the children in the community, as well as to possibly start to build some sort of recreational equipment for the residents there. So. With that, I'd like to ask for the approval of council to proceed with that. And at the same time, I want to mention, so that it doesn't come as any surprise as we get down the road, that we have approached the executive office as well as special services to talk about that particular area where there really isn't any infrastructure for the folks that live in that area. I don't know whether we'll come back and ask for some sort of a community park, but as we all know, when you talk just a basic community park with children's equipment, you know, you're talking upwards of $100,000. And I know that we've tried to steer clear of the business of putting individual community parks in, but all one has to do is ride down this two-lane rural road to nowhere and see that there's just nothing there for the children. And as they grow, I think, you know, there's nothing to do, no place to go, no infrastructure for them there. It's going to wreak havoc. So, but with that, come back to the point of love to be able to help them out to get started. And we did an earlier grant for a couple of AEDs for the community because of its remote location from the first responders.
Okay. We have a motion for $2,500 on the table for Odessa National Civic. There's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Not voting. Okay. That concludes the grants. Next, we have discussion and vote on council chamber equipment replacement with Mr. Boyle. First, please just let me clear the air. I'm not opposed to this. My question was merely, I wasn't sure how long ago it had been before a mic system, whatever, had been upgraded in council. That's why my question to Mr. Boyle. So, with that, Mr. Boyle.
Okay, Jim Boyle, council, policy judge for the council. As you're well aware, in the last meeting, the amplification system and some of the microphones went out of service. Okay, as a result, we had a little bit more difficulty hearing the council members and also recording the meeting. After that, I approached the city, who is our partner with the chamber. They had their vendor, who was on retainer, check this out, and they've come to the conclusion that it needed some amplification equipment and a couple new microphones. The equipment then we have down there right now is approximately, and John's here, he's out there, approximately 10 years old, somewhere in that neighborhood. The economic life of that equipment is usually about 6 to 7 years old, so we've gone beyond that. We did replace the microphones a couple of years ago when we were renovating the chamber, but we never changed the amplification systems. What we're looking at right now is what we've worked with the city on the chamber is paying about 50% of any improvements or repairs. This is not the first time I've come for this particular request. So at this point right now, what I have is, and if you want them, I've given the quotes that we've received from their vendor and the email from Mr. Rago, and a picture of the equipment that some of the equipment that we're going to replace. Our cost would be approximately $6,080.50, and I'm asking for $6,100 from the contingency fund, which now has a balance of $266,000, in order to reimburse the city that I believe have already made the repairs.
Just a question.
Councilman Water.
As a best practice, I would suggest that information like this be emailed in advance rather than handed out as a table.
It wasn't emailed in advance.
Okay.
And I can send you the emails.
I get lots of emails, if you say it was.
It was emailed in advance. In fact, there was, we'll refer to as, I sent it out originally and there was a long discussion by email.
I do recall that.
Okay.
Comment
to quote one of our fellow council members, quasi-quote, before we have a $200,000 discussion on $6,100, I'd make a motion to approve the $6,100 expenditure for the upgrade to the council chamber. Okay, question on the motion, Councilman Street.
Will of council be the will of council? The microphones were replaced 10 years ago, with the amp system, whatever, and then we fixed the mics. Now you're in it at $12,000. That's $1,000 a mic to cover 75 foot of wire. Where's the vendor's gun? If you're going to rob somebody, rob them right.
Excuse me, but what I said, we're only replacing one microphone. Okay, the microphones we replaced less than 10 years ago. It's the amplification system itself. Okay, that
I'll amplify it for free. All you gotta do is speak up. It's $1,000 a mic for 75 feet.
Let me help you. It would actually be more palatable if we were getting new mics. Okay.
You're gonna rob somebody, rob them right.
Any further?
This is a paper rob.
Any further questions from council? Any comments? Okay, there's a motion on the table to authorize the $6,100. Is there a second?
Yeah.
Second, okay. Council. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay. I think it passed. But I agree with you. Okay. Anything for the expense and revenue roundtable? Anything on their other? Anything from the public? Can I get a motion?
Salute.
A motion to adjourn. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Anyone not voting? Okay. Thank you very much.